Independent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 18th on the West Coast, now January the 19th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. I don't have a guest selected for tonight. I thought I had one booked, but due to some schedule conflicts and an extended, let's say, sabbatical that my guest had, he will be coming on a bit later in the month and probably more frequently. And I'm speaking about Mr. Adrian Salbucci in Argentina. He has been working on what he has been calling the Second Republic, and that is the restoration of a constitutional republic in the nation that we know as Argentina. And he's very well versed in world history. Economics is his specialty, international economics, and he and I are, among many others who are researching this topic, are in agreement that the world is currently undergoing an economic abortion, if you want to call it that. I can't think of a nicer word to call it. And I think that we're still going to be witnessing chaotic events. They're orchestrated that way. I've made more time for myself to involve myself in my research and writing, so there'll be a number of articles coming out soon. We're going to have a new stable of guests, or let's say more frequent guests. Some guests are going to be returning more often to Evident Footprints in the coming days and weeks and months, and we're going to keep bringing you the truth as we see it and as it unfolds and reveals itself to us. And with that comes, I guess, an admonition. This is a gentle one for those of you who might be concerned about that. There is a ton of disinformation that has hit the airwaves, especially on alternative media. Now, that's a given for mainstream media. On the alternative media, which garnered a reputation pretty quickly when you consider that the internet hasn't really been functioning like it is now for many years and really for a short time. When you consider the advent of television and its introduction in the 1940s in America on a grander scale, there were people that had TV before that, but with the advent of color television and movies and enhanced picture watching, it was recognized what an effective tool it would become rather soon in the game. And they used it for advertising. And, of course, you could tell stories in an ad and make people look grander than they really were in real life. You could make them look totally different, and you didn't even have to use people like they do today. They use images of people. They use cartoons, chroma key representations, even totally computer-generated images of people talking to each other. And somehow people don't realize that they're being conditioned to accept the authority of a robot or a computer program as part of their reality. This is something that's evident in music, particularly in pop music, the type that the kids are seeing in concert venues, but it's also presented to adults. The fact that someone can come out and in a matter of a couple of weeks, all of a sudden be a superstar, and really not bring anything new to the table, just another window dressing of wild clothes. I guess it's, you know, in this society that has discarded all of the normal morality that was demanded of us, especially in when considering what you say or do on television, what you show in pictures, what's allowed to be heard and what's not allowed to be heard. Those boundaries or those parameters have disappeared. They've evaporated. And you hear talk show hosts on TV or the anchors or the weatherman. A number of years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I heard a weatherman go into a totally outrageous, profane diatribe because his microphone wasn't working. And he went into a whole bunch of dirty language. And I don't think anyone really noticed. This guy didn't lose his job. He wasn't suspended. It was okay that this went over the airwaves. I didn't hear about any $250,000 fine like Janet Jackson got when Justin Timberlake ripped off her shirt or her jacket and exposing a breast on national TV on the Super Bowl a few years ago. They said later on that CBS and several other people were fined these amounts of money, but it's really, is that their major concern? Are they genuinely concerned about exposing children or, for that matter, anyone that doesn't wish or expect to see that on mainstream TV during daytime hours on a holiday or on the day of a special event that the whole world is watching? Do they really expect people to forget that happened or just ignore that it happened? Okay, so some people got fined. That was a drop in the bucket. That meant nothing. There were companies paying millions of dollars per commercial for a 30-second or a one-minute slot. Somebody made money. But the overall gain was to those that are testing the limits of acceptability and psychologically manipulating the viewers. I would have to think that there were some older people, some senior citizens that were watching football because they watched it since they were children. Some of them had played football. And certainly there were children watching who were watching to see Michael Jackson's sister on stage with one of the former Backstreet Boys. And we didn't hear anything about the impact that had on children, exposing children to that, did we? We didn't hear it in the schools. We didn't see parents arise in anger. Everybody was numb to this. Everybody accepted it. Some people laughed. Some people said, well, it was disgusting. I hope they get in trouble. But it was... it wasn't heartfelt, and certainly no one recognized what was being done to the mass consciousness of the whole world. The whole world saw that event. So we all need to be questioning this, not just in America, but we not just questioning it. We need to recognize what is going on because there is a war for your mind and your body and eventually your soul. That's the long-term goal. If they can prevent you from returning to the creation, from returning to God at the end of your life on this planet, they'll have done their job. They'll have accomplished their goal. But that's your goal, or is it? And if it isn't your goal, then it's time you do something about it. And it's time that we have a spiritual cleansing on this planet and certainly a cleansing of minds and bodies that have been poisoned with all of this. And we talk about this on a nightly basis on this show. I'm going to give you a chance to contemplate this, and I'm going to share some music with you, something that I feel is enough outside the box and still adheres to the spirit of what we're talking about. This is Bob James from his Grand Piano Canyon album, Restoration. Now, why do you suppose Bob James entitled that piece Restoration? What was his message? I mean, there were no words. We heard no lyrics, nothing to attach your mind to, but certainly something to feel through the heart and attach itself to the soul. Isn't that why many of us love music, appreciate music, and a variety of artists and a variety of styles? Because we listen to gifted people communicate their thoughts, their emotions, and their deepest convictions about who they are and their connection really to the all, the whole of the universe, the creation, and to the creator. Do you think the greatest composers were somehow just an accident on this planet? Composers like Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, who was known for his compositions that served the purposes of the organized church in Germany during his time, but who was also a dedicated organ teacher. He taught the harpsichord, the clavier, which in English is the piano. Virtually any keyboard instrument he mastered. And what's interesting is when you take Bach's music, classical music, and compare it theoretically to the more advanced types of music that we have today, certainly his music was advanced. He had a way of weaving melodies in and out of each other, and he made harmonies with single melodic lines. It's referred to as counterpoint, and yet he did some things that virtuosos had difficulty mastering. Even today, some of the best piano players or organists or harpsichordists have great difficulty learning the nuances of the music because there's a way to play it, bring it to life. Wouldn't you like to hear Bach play a piece that he composed and hear it from the master who brought it to life, who brought it to us, who gifted us with it? And, you know, the classical works are a part of our history, and some of their music has been used for very lofty purposes, and some of it has been used to represent the warmongers of certain countries. Germany is a perfect example. Hitler's love for Wagner, instilled a sense of courage in the men, or at least they were told that it would make them courageous and it would make Germany strong as he went about Europe wreaking havoc, murdering millions of people with assistance, by the way. Hitler was portrayed to be the madman that had to be stopped, but he was financed by the Zionist bankers in New York. And when we consider that we were told that this was found out, it was learned and it was stopped, and it really wasn't, because it was stopped in 1942, allegedly, and yet the person who was the money runner, known as Prescott Sheldon Bush, or we could say he was the bag man. He was the individual that was actually facilitating, financing this on behalf of America and England. This was a setup from the get-go. It's no different from what we're experiencing today in the United States and in other parts of the world. The same fraud is going on. And then one would ask, well, why would America do that? Or why would England do that? Why would England pay to have Germany come and bomb England, to come and bomb London. Well, there were certain places that didn't get bombed if you paid attention. Certainly, they wanted the people to be in terror. They made sure that their edifices and their statues and their Masonic symbolism didn't get touched. Or if it did, those were the first things to be repaired when the war stopped. But then you go way back into the inception of this country, the United States of America, and even before that, it was the Virginia Company. I've talked about this on numerous shows. I've even written about it somewhat, not in great depth. But that agreement, that original contract that set up this country was never really nullified. It's always secretly been the Virginia Company. They just call it by another name. America, or the United States of America. And they play all kinds of word games with the meaning of that. But this country was never, ever really established as an independent nation. It was always a serfdom of England. And little known to a lot of people, England was conscripted to the Vatican, or the Vatican Sole, S-O-L-E. And the head of the Vatican had the rights to everything that was considered to be American-owned, and eventually England. And England was given the permission to sort of be the caretaker on behalf of the Vatican. This is why they nonstop bombard you with the message that you've got to worship the Pope as the supreme representative of God on the planet and the Queen of England. This is why we have this nonstop mantra of how important royalty is and how they are to be worshipped and admired. For what? For the millions and millions and hundreds and of millions, probably billions of people over time that they have slaughtered so they can become richer? If we're going to restore ourselves, what are we going to restore ourselves to? As a nation, I think we've been hoodwinked from day one. I've said that many times, and it becomes more evident that what we were taught in school never really applied. It was propaganda. We weren't told the truth about these things, and if the names were ever mentioned, we were given a fairy tale about the significance of those names. So what do we restore a country to, or do we recreate the country? I'm not saying restoration isn't a good thing. If as long as you're restoring it to something with integrity and something that is founded in truth. And the Word of God is not a bad idea either. But we're not talking about the edited version of God or the 1,000th edition of the Word of God. We're talking about the pure, unadulterated Word of God that anyone can find within themselves and with God's help. Everywhere else in the universe, it's all about us. Does it matter who's on this planet if this is nothing but a prison planet, or if it's nothing but just an endless perpetual carousel of chaos and murder and destruction and evil and sadness? I suppose those that like carnival rides don't have a problem with it. You know, we have these sayings, what goes around comes around. Well, isn't that what a hamster wheel does, or a Ferris wheel, or a merry-go-round, or just an old-fashioned carousel? And they get you used to the idea young. They put a merry-go-round in most parks for the children to learn to spin in circles. It's good practice to learn how to spin in circles, because whether you're sitting on that merry-go-round or not, everything else in the world is turning in a circle. The world itself is turning in circles in its orbit. In its orbit within the period of a day makes a complete revolution. It orbits around the sun in 365 days, or what we call a year, except on leap year. And this goes on. We're moving 1,000 miles an hour, just and for some reason we're not thrown off the surface. Oh, that's gravity, they say. Yet a bird can defy gravity. Just by jumping a little bit and spreading its wings, it can defy gravity. So do we really know what gravity is, or have we been told what gravity is? Or what anti-gravity is? Now, to a lot of people, that doesn't really matter, other than to say, wow, look at that. To be in awe of something, not really caring to know about it. Just to be impressed, to be entertained. To have something to talk about, even if one doesn't know anything about one is talking about. I suppose that if we had the truth about universal scientific principles, no one could pull the wool over our eyes about anything. Certainly, math, which is revered to be sacred, in one of the sacred parts of the sciences, doesn't seem to work when you apply it to the economy. It has all kinds of problems. It's very unpredictable, especially when you keep double sets of books. Which is the real set? The first one or the second one? Or maybe even the third? Or does it not even matter what's in the books, because it's the number crunching, the yeses and nos, the zeros and the ones of a computer? Now, they're beyond that, by the way. It's the language is not just zeros and ones, but it can be broken down to that as a simple means of understanding that binary code is just different combinations of zeros and ones, and you can apply them to numbers, and you can apply them to letters, and you can even apply them to pictures, images, sounds. So you can totally create an artificial reality that resides in a computer, and you don't have to really understand how it all happens. You can just follow it. Follow the instructions that are there before you. Or seek help when you get stuck. When the thing breaks, no one knows how to fix it. Not for anything less than $200. Usually it's a lot more than that. I had my own experience a few years ago with Apple Computer. I had a brand new laptop, state-of-the-art professional laptop, and it developed within the first or second day, it developed a problem with the disk drive. That problem was there from the onset, from the beginning. And it was such a nuisance, I used a couple of other computers that I had for the work that I was doing, and that was primarily for music production. When I got around to the issue of having the laptop disk drive repaired and or replaced. And really, I would have been unhappy with anything less than a replacement because it hadn't worked from the beginning. And I'd notified Apple about that. When I got down to the point, because I hadn't purchased an extended warranty on this, they didn't want to deal with me. They didn't want to talk to me, even though the product was under warranty. Then I was quoted a price of $1,000 to repair that disk drive. And there were already other drives that had come out in a couple of sequential models that had been released within a month or two of my purchase of that computer that were more sophisticated and did many more things, and they were going to charge me $1,000. Well, I got on the phone. I went online and got on the phone and talked to a company that sent me a drive for $145. Although I was warned that I might want to hire a professional to remove the original drive, I was admonished about the dangers of static electricity. I was aware with that because I dealt with electronics. I was an electronic technician and a good troubleshooter too. They wanted to charge me $145 with this, but it came with a bundle of software. And I have to tell you, it was some of the greatest software that I had come across in a long time. In fact, I still use it. 11 years later, I'm still using that software, and it outperforms 99.9% of the software that's out there for hundreds, even over $1,000. It was fantastic software. It was worth the price of the software, let alone I had a new disk drive that now could write on more types of disks, and it was a double-sided drive, so we could do DVDs on both sides, or it could handle large capacities of information much more quickly than the original drive. When I questioned the $1,000 price tag to have this replaced and installed by the manufacturer, the person I talked to on the other end of the phone said, "Well, we have a responsibility to our shareholders." And I said, "You do? Well, that's nice to hear that." I said, "Have you asked me if I'm a shareholder?" And there was a prolonged silence. I said, "I'm still waiting for my answer. Have you asked me if I'm a shareholder of Apple Computer?" And the young lady said, "No, I didn't. Are you?" And I said, it shouldn't matter if I am or I'm not. And to tell you the truth, I'm not going to answer that question for you till I get to the bottom of the ruse that's being played here as to why you're charging me or you're quoting me $1,000 price tag on a replacement drive for a brand new drive in a computer that never worked from day one. I waited a long time to tell this story, obviously, but I never forgot it because this is what the financial community is like. This is what corporate America is like. And really, it's what corporation world is, corporation New World Order, is that no one has any responsibility for anything they do. Money is the bottom line. Take as much of it as you can get as soon as you can. As fast as you can, any way you possibly can. Integrity doesn't matter. Honesty doesn't matter. Reliability of that which you manufacture and sell doesn't matter. Things go bad. I understand that. You know, you could have a non-functioning motherboard in your computer because the person that assembled that or the person that tested it was leaving the company later that day and really didn't care at all. They had a vendetta against the boss and decided they were going to do the lousiest job they could Many of you have purchased one of those pieces of equipment that that individual played some role in manufacturing. So it's not a singular case, but the point is, when you look to resolve this with the best of intentions, certainly the company should stand behind the product that they manufacture and they sell. They're not alone in this. I could name hundreds of computer companies that have come and gone. And you'll hear the same stories. There seems to be a propensity to sell computers and not give the customer the original installation discs for the software so that you're compelled to go to a computer repair shop where they have a master disc that may have back doors on it. I'm not saying the manufacturer's disc doesn't, which allows government agencies to go peering through your files or steal them or hack your computer. Because if a person is going to charge me 10 times or 9 times the cost of a disk drive to replace it from the very manufacturer from which it was purchased, who can I trust outside? Well, I happened to find a company in Chicago called CDW. I'm going to mention their name because they were wonderful. The salesman talked to me. He understood my problem. I purchased the computer disk drive, high-density drive, double-sided super drive that outperformed the original 10 times to 1 in every aspect. Plus, I got all that wonderful software that I'm still using today because it's so great. I was inconvenienced a little bit on one program. I had to go to a website in Germany and download a driver to make that device work. I was told, again, I'm repeating myself, it would take me about 3 hours to install this, and I should be aware of that because that could certainly upset me. That could make me angry, or I might even make a mistake. I might accidentally cause a static charge to zap one or more of the chips, maybe on the motherboard or the sound card, or I might break an interface ribbon that connects components to the power sources. So I got the proper tools. With that, I cracked the case open. I began carefully disassembling the drive component, removed the drive, installed the new one, closed the case, and looked at my clock, and 15 minutes had elapsed. Now, I wasn't being misled. I did say that I was a technician. I've built hard drives in emergencies. I've ordered once I had to order a Seagate drive from a studio or for a studio. And that took me 3 or 4 hours to build that from basic components. But I put it together. It's common sense. If you use a little of your smarts and a little bit of intuition and say, you know, I can do this, believe it or not, you can. Now, not every person can, but certainly you should be able to at least locate a person that knows how to do it. That becomes a matter of integrity because everybody will tell you they can do it, and then you'll find out that they can't. And it costs you more money, or that they've created another problem. I know people who have had more of the guts inside their computer damaged than what their original problem was. It might be a faulty latch on the laptop that doesn't allow it to close properly, and as soon as they pick it up, the thing is opening up. So they want to get that replaced. Well, by the time they're done with it, they need a new graphics card, a new sound card, or a new motherboard. You might as well go out and buy a new computer for a 15-cent latch, which you're being charged $200 for, and then you you gain all these other problems that you didn't ask for. Because people can't say, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing with this. I think I could make a recommendation for you. No, they've got to get their hands on the money. It's there. It's on the table. It's right in their face. They have to get it. And they'll deal with the consequences later. They'll come up with a million excuses. It's sad when these major companies are authorizing, these are factory authorized service centers, by the way. They admonish you in their owner's manual and on the registration card. When the product doesn't perform, don't take it to the place where you bought it. Contact a repair service. Or don't contact us, the manufacturer. Take it to where you bought it. And then you go there and they give you the runaround, and soon you have no idea who can help you. And usually, 50% of the time at least, it's because there is no one that can help you, or there's no one that chooses to help you. Most of the time, it's because they're not really qualified. Then it makes you wonder, how do these corporations stay in business? What is it they do if these types of breakdowns are occurring with products? And it's not something that's just a computer problem. You have this problem with washing machines and toasters and dryers and automobiles, trucks, bicycles, coffee makers, radios, televisions, monitors, lawnmowers. They're coming out with a new model of lawnmower every month or two, and you can buy a lawnmower from a major home outlet store that's got 20 or 50 of them parked out in front as you're walking in the main door, and find out a month later when you need to buy a spare part that broke just doing an ordinary task like mowing the lawn, and you find out that that part's not available because that company's been bought out by another company. This is how they run their businesses, and they sell you these things with the promise that you have a 1-year warranty, 2-year warranty, 3-year warranty, 10-year warranty, lifetime warranty. But whose lifetime are they talking about? Are they talking about the lifetime of the product? Are they talking about your lifetime? Or are they talking about their lifetime? We've gotten to the point where we need to be asking those questions, or we don't buy the product. And they need to put that in writing, like the contracts that they want to force us to sign. Banks, do you think putting all of your life savings and the backup supply for your checking account or the collateral for your credit card, if you have to have that, do you think that they would sign a statement that if they go under, you can recoup all your money, you can sue them to kingdom come? Heck no. They're not going to tell you that. Are they going to tell you what they really do with your money when you give it to them? No, they're not going to tell you that either. So why should you trust them with your money? Really, think about it. Why should you trust them with your money? I'm going to take another short break here. And I want you to think about that a little bit as we listen to another instrumental from David Sanborn, Port of Call. We'll be right back. Well, that should hopefully have gotten you fired up a little bit. And we could go on and on for hours talking about all the dichotomous realities of the corporate world around the planet. We could go into all the things they tell us about food, all the things they tell us about medicine, all the things they tell us about the oil derivative products that we purchase, that we become so dependent upon because we have not been allowed or given alternative methods that are far superior because it can't be metered and put money directly into someone's pocket is the primary reason why these things have been sequestered for over 100 years. Research the life of scientist inventor Nikola Tesla. Those of you who have never heard the name, and you will see soon that that is very true. In fact, they've weaponized Tesla's inventions. Why is it that everything, every good thing that man has created has been turned into a weapon to destroy man? They begin by destroying the inventor, then the inventor's associates and friends, and then eventually everyone else. Why is this so secret? Is it because it leads us to the truth about what's really going on? And I suppose in our remaining moments on the show tonight that we could discuss some solutions. The first piece, if you recall, the Bob James piece, restoration, is just a word. But in a sense, it means to bring back or replace, to make original, to make it as advertised, I would say. Not what they're giving us, because nothing we buy is as advertised. There's always a catch. A catch 22, they like to call it, to the whole process of investing in a product advertised to make your life more comfortable when it becomes a pain in the neck for most people, especially when it doesn't work as advertised or it breaks. And the service that the company represents you will have is nothing more than double talk. If you doubt what I'm saying, call a government office, any government office, I don't care, on the local, county, state, or federal level, and watch how many times, ask them the most ridiculous question you can think of. Ask it nicely, and then watch how many times you're transferred to another person who is the expert in answering that call. You may have to press 1 for English. But you'll soon see that no one who's working can answer your question. Now, if it's a crazy question, they may try to answer it. But just to experience the passing of the buck, no one wants to take responsibility. No one wants to lead you directly to the solution to the problem. They want to make you so frustrated that you give up. It's by design that this is done. This is in the business community. It's at your bank. It's at your doctor's office. They'll tell you the disease that you're there to be treated for cannot be cured. Or they'll tell you on TV that this medicine will make the disease go away, or it'll do some strange thing that they don't even admit to while you hear 20, 30, 40, 50 different side effects. And be careful, talk to your doctor first. They're inventing diseases, both in the lab and just by what they say in the commercials. They're just making things up and saying this will fix it. If they can convince you that you have the disease, then they've already achieved 95% of the goal. even if it's non-existent. Oh, and you'll hear the serious voice. The guy almost breaks out in tears. Do it before it's too late. Before what's too late? Before you spend the money on something else and not give it to us? Is that what that really means? In a sense, that's how I interpret it. Because I'm listening to a made-up disease, a made-up medicine. And although they're vehemently attacking natural supplements that help people stay healthy and protect their immune system, they're selling sexual enhancement drugs. I don't see the FDA going after those people, which makes me think those are people in the FDA selling the stuff. This has not been evaluated or approved by the FDA. So putting that make on the screen makes it okay to sell it? Certain supplements have been proven to be effective over many diseases they claim there are no cures for. Is that why they want to ban supplements so they can continue the ruse of problem reaction solution in the medical community? Look at what's happening to people's homes. People are losing their homes still. We've exposed the corruption. We've exposed the methods that they're using to steal your property. They're doing it. And still people aren't waking up to it. They're finding themselves in the direst of circumstances, and they don't know how, and they can't find anyone to assist them in extricating themselves from the fraud that's being committed upon them. They're being blamed for problems that they haven't created. This is the whole of the nation, by the way, because they're sticking us with the tab. Healthcare has become extortion. It's extortion first. Then if you're lucky to get any healthcare. But they never talk about being healthy. They never talk about what causes you to be healthy. It's receiving aid, or under the guise of receiving aid for something they've done to you because of the things they do to the air and the water and the food that you consume in one way or another. They want to charge you for that too. This all belongs to God. Here's the solution. You know, in the old days, the people understood that they were caretakers of the land, not on behalf of some pencil pusher, some fat man counting stacks of gold coins, some egomaniac, some warmonger. They understood their connection with the Creator, and they understood that if they were fortunate enough to be able to work land like a farmer and produce food to feed their family, they could possibly feed their neighbors and feed the community, and it spread out. It expanded from there. Those that did it right made themselves very wealthy and respectable people who could sleep at night because they weren't murdering people in the process of doing what they did for their life. There were musicians that wandered around from one town to another. They called them wandering minstrels in Europe. Sometimes they were referred to as gypsies, as if they were lower than the rest of humanity. They were often pushed into doing things that were outside of their morals, their own morals, but they became desperate because of how they were treated. You know, we were taught about wandering minstrels in school. How do you suppose they learned to play an instrument? And what value did that have? Them coming to a town and performing for a group of total strangers so they could eat or have a roof over their head for a night or more. And maybe save up money eventually to play their instrument on their farm and start a family, raise a family, grow natural food, take care of the land, appreciate it rather than destroy it. And then it got to be too valuable, too tempting for the greedy ones who had to steal it. They had to devise ways of stealing the properties. So those people functioned pretty well under God's laws. If we're going to restore anything, we need first to recognize God's laws, the laws of the creation. We need to honor those laws, restore them into our daily lives. Not on Sunday or on a Saturday, but every day. Does God just stop by the planet Earth on a weekend or on a specific religious holiday? Is that the only time God is here with us? And I wonder how many of you actually talk to God in your own way. There's no specific way you have to do it, but with an open heart, in a spirit of repentance, as well as an extension of your love and your recognition and your gratitude for the gift of life. You want peace in your life, or you want positive things to happen in your life, real change, meaningful change, everlasting change. You've got to look to God, because nothing this crowd that's running the show on this planet right now is everlasting. It's crumbling before your eyes, but they've got everybody running in fear with stories about planets that are coming to attack planet Earth and asteroids that are coming to attack planet Earth. We have beings from other realms here with the intention of just taking over this planet. They've been here for many thousands of years. We've talked about that on this show. That is a truth. They don't even have to be named. Yet there are all kinds of names coming out of the woodwork just to create more chaos and more confusion, to destroy the truth, to cause those truth tellers and those messengers of truth out there, and researchers and journalists and authors and musicians and artists and even some film producers who are portraying history and portraying actual events, even prophesying events in their work accurately, who have to be silenced because others are waking up to the truth. You can see who the real enemies are just by looking at your own circumstances and questioning what are the motivations of those that do all the things that they do. We're told we're running out of oil. The demand is so high right now that we have to charge more money for it. Does that produce more oil? Does charging more money produce more oil for it? So where is the validity in charging more for something that's almost run out? It seems like the good spirits out there in the world would give it away for free. Just give it away. Well, you know, you got the last, this group of people in this country got the last billion barrels of oil, and we're proud we did that. That was our charitable act after ripping off humanity for 150 years. We can rest our souls that we did the right thing in the end. No, they have to raise the price. They have to turn us into beggars. They have to starve us to death. Because increasing oil prices increases the price of food that you could grow yourselves if you worked a plot of land. You don't need a whole lot of land. If you do it the right way, you can do it within 100-square-foot area. You can feed a family of four for a year if you know what you're doing. And really, the trick to it is to let nature do what it does best. Of course, they're interfering with nature. So, do we just allow that to occur, or do we put a stop to it? Do we finally put our feet down and say enough is enough? We are claiming our sovereign birthright to be free-willed individuals on this planet. That would solve the food problem overnight. Now, if these companies are genuinely interested in staying in business, they can do business with those that don't have the capacity to do that, because they live on a concrete slab or in a high rise someplace. Of course, no one's forcing them to stay there. They could look for another place to live. Oh, it might be inconvenient. Might make it a little bit more difficult to charge $1,000 for a $145 product. What would you pay someone for 15 minutes of work? What would you pay me for installing that disk drive? Or what would you prefer to be paid if you installed it yourself? There are people out there that will charge you $1,000 for the drive and put it in there and probably make $950 or more dollars profit, because they have millions of those drives. And they certainly have enough technicians that are on their staff working on an hourly rate. So the costs are very minimal. But what I was told was going to take a week to do, I did in 15 minutes for a fraction of the price. And it still works today. So does the software, the free software that was bundled with it to make my purchase more enjoyable and easier. I didn't have to go out and do a lot of legwork. CDW helped me with that. So I put out a good word for them. I've probably been one of the most influential people on the planet helping Apple sell thousands of computers over the years, building studios and interfacing with professionals in audio and video, in recording studios and traveling musicians and performing musicians. I never made a penny from that, from Apple. But you see, that's what producing a generally good product will do. It'll spread a good word about the product. But does that mean that they're exempt from sharing an experience of a negative nature? And I know people that bought Dell computers, and I know people that bought Acer computers and every type of IBM computer, and then all the offshoots, Compaq, all these businesses they come and go because somebody makes a quick buck. They take over a corporation, they slap a new name on it, they make as much money as they can out of the remaining parts that they have that could be assembled or maybe retooled a little bit, modified slightly to accommodate what the market's demanding at the time. And then within a few months, those manufactured goods need major repairs, major service, or complete replacement. And then you're inconvenienced because the thing's not working. Now you've got to pay exorbitant amount of monies to extract your data from the hard drive because it's frozen solid. And there's no guarantee for the exorbitant amount of money you pay for extracting that information that you're going to save any of it. Well, they'll say, no data, no charge. That makes me feel real good. How about you? But I know that when you plant seeds in the ground and the ground is fertile and you give the seeds water, enough water, not too much, not too little. There's a right amount of water that seeds need to grow. And they need some warmth. They need sunlight. And they need an environment free of poisons and pesticides and toxins. Just like people, they're living things. They may not speak a language you understand, but they can keep you alive. They do have value. You can learn to do those things. Well, why is it the government wants to outlaw you doing it? Like, as if under the pretense that it makes you safe. If it made you safe, if they were concerned about your safety, they'd stop poisoning the world's oceans and the lakes and the streams and the rivers and stop killing the birds and the fish in the sea. They would make that their first priority, knowing that we eat these things. Why aren't they concerned about that? Who's running the show? Obviously, it's someone who doesn't care about those things, sees an advantage in doing that to us and to causing that to be our reality. So here we have another example. Remember, last week I did a show, I think it was on Tuesday night, I did a show called We Have Short Memories. And we do, we have short memories. It seems like people's memories have even gotten shorter this week than they were last week. Not everyone. I talk to people. I hear from people who distinctly remember things. That many others have forgotten about their own lives. Some people can recall almost all the way back to the day they were born. They remember things. And yet there are people that can't remember what they said last week or what they did last week, or some people today, this morning, or yesterday. I guess we don't really feel that these things are important in the long run. So you wonder why we have forgotten God, who God is, or we've forgotten who we are. And what our purpose is for being here. I had no idea what I was going to say tonight, folks. This message all came out spontaneously. And I hope something that I said tonight resonates within you and causes you to reflect upon how you might restore yourself to your natural self, the way you were when you came here. I don't mean being a baby, reverting back to an infant. But I mean with all the spiritual gifts that you came here with, those that have been suppressed from the outset, the memories of those are still within you. I know because they've awakened in me, and I know others in whom they've awakened. And if we can discover that, and I don't know all those secrets myself, about myself, I'm still learning them. But I can tell you that you can empower yourself to do anything, to accomplish anything, when you know who you are. And the easiest, quickest, most direct way to find the source of all that wonderment is by turning to God and remembering that there is a God. There is a God, not there was a God, or that God is imaginary. There is a God. There is a creator of the universe. And he's been whispering in the ears of your soul long before you were born on this planet Earth. And you do have a responsibility to remember that and to bring it to life, to restore it. I want to thank you for listening in tonight. We're out of time. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network. If they are broadcasting the show, I appreciate it. I want to thank Don Newsom for the sound tonight. Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and BBS Radio. If you haven't signed up for the archives, please do so. Keeps us on the air. Keeps us streaming at 64 kilobits. Right now, that's one of the highest out there on talk radio. And we have many more improvements that we're going to add to the network. It entitles you. A subscription to Evident Footprints entitles you to a year's worth of free downloads of any show on BBS Radio. It's worth a consideration. That's a small part that you can play in making a commitment to the source. And most of all, I want to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I may have a couple of surprise guests tomorrow night, so be sure to tune in to Evident Footprints. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.